All right, Jabosai, good morning. Good morning, good morning. We have a beautiful daf ahead of us today. Today's daf is daf tes, 9. We are picking up, Emir Tzashem, we are picking up and on Ches Amud Beis, 8b. And we are picking up, Emir Tzashem, at Amar Rav Yehuda. So it's 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 14, 16, 18, 19 lines up from the bottom. We want to begin by thanking our sponsors for this morning. Share to thank the Learner Mishpacha, who are our Talmud Torah sponsors for the month of Adar, for dedicating all of the shiurim and learning of this month in memory of Mrs. Dina Lerner Gerber, Dina Bas Yehuda Leib. We thank our sponsors for the week of learning, Paul and Kathy Pollack, for dedicating the shiurim this week in memory of Paul's grandparents, Zecharia Ben Zecharia and Dina Bas Pesach, and Avi and Michon Zeisman for dedicating the learning this week in memory of Avi's father, Michael Ben Yechiel. We hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamas will have an aliyah and the families in Nechama, and we very much thank all of our sponsors. Can you hear me back there? Is it okay? Yeah? Okay, I'll talk a little louder. All right, so we continue. Should I hold it? I can hold it. Any suggestions, mcabramson@gmail.com? Everybody's an AV expert. So all right, and really thank you to Moshe. Is perhaps one of the most versatile tech people. No matter what happens, we've got a setup for it. I might be wearing 15 mics and everything else, but Baruch Hashem. All right, only problem now is I can't see the Gemara, but that's all right. That's good. I'll say, so with that, let's begin. So the Gemara says as follows. I'm actually just going to move it over a bit. I'll speak loud. So the Gemara says as follows. Amar Rav Yehuda, Hai Zirza Dekani, Dekani Rama, Vizakfe Rama, Vizakfe. So the Gemara says like this. So what we're talking about over here is Zirza Dekani. If you look at Rashi, in the second wide line of Rashi on the bottom, Zirza Dekani, Chavila Shalkanim Aruchim. If you have a bundle of long reeds, So the Gemara says, and what are you doing? So the Gemara says, Rama Vizakfe, Rama Vizakfe. Now I do something very interesting over here. Look at the next Rashi. Rama Vizakfe, Rama Vizakfe. Holicha, Holicha Amas Harabishus Aradim. King and Azeh, Shalom Natlu Kulam and Akarka, Ela Zakfo Vishlicho, Vichazer Vizakfo Vishlichu. So we'll say what you're doing over here is as follows. So imagine you have a bundle of reeds, and what you're doing is you're lifting up one end of the bundle and pushing it forward. Then lifting up the other end of the bundle and pushing it forward. So the way you're transporting this bundle, Rashi says, many amas is how? Lifting up one side at a time. But at no point in time are you what? Lifting up the bundle in its entirety. So the Gemara says that although you have gone ahead and moved the bundle many amas, lo mechayiv ad da akarle, haloch lemaisa, one is not chayiv until you go ahead and totally uproot the bundle. Lift up. So I will say a very simple idea, right? Hotzah 101 requires what? An akira. Akira means fundamentally lifting up an entire object from its place of rest. So essentially, if in this case, what you're doing is you're lifting up one end, but you're leaving the other end on the ground. So even though you end up moving the bundle many, many amas, because you're never lifting up more than one end at a time, therefore, halacha lemaisa, you are pater. So the Gemara says, Amar Mar, Adam Omi. So let's go back for just a moment. In the Mishnah, we quoted this idea, but the Gemara over here is quoting it, well, quoting it from the Mishnah, Amar Mar. Adam omed al isikufa. A person can stand in an isikufa. So we've translated isikufa as a threshold. So a person could stand on the isikufa. No, tell me, balabayis finosin lo. And a person takes an object from the balabayis who's standing inside. So the threshold is the area right outside the home, but right before the Rishus Harabim. Now we're going to define what the parameters of this makom are. But we said before that a person can be standing on the isikufa. No, tell me, balabayis v'nosin lo. So a person can receive an object from the balabayis, and the person who's in the rishus hayachid, and the person standing, and a person can receive an object from the balabayis, and can give an object from the balabayis. Which means what? When standing on the isikufa, you could transport an item from the isikufa to the rishus hayachid, from the rishus hayachid to the isikufa. Furthermore. No, tell me, ani v'no semo. Furthermore, one could receive something from the ani. Where is the ani standing? The pauper, rishos harabim. So one could find one could receive something from the ani and give something to the ani, which tells you, Adrabo say, that when standing on the isikufa, one could receive and give to the rishos hayachid, and one could receive and give to the rishos harabim. To which the Gemara says, ha isikufa mai. What is this isikufa? So what is this makom that allows for the transfer both between Rishos HaYachid and Rishos HaRabim? So the Gemara says, ma isikufa, ilei ma isikufa Rishos HaRabim. If you want to say the isikufa has the status of a public domain, no, tell me balabayis, so then how could it be that the person standing on the isikufa could receive or give something to the balabayis? After all, the Gemara says, so ultimately, again, if the isikufa is rishus harabim, then how can you give or receive something from the individual standing inside of the home? That would be transferring an object from rishus hayachid to rishus harabim. That the isikufa is rishus hayachid. So I must say the isikufa has the status of a rishus hayachid. How could that be? No tal mina ani, hakama ayal mi rishus harabim li rishus hayachid. But say if isikufa is like rishus hayachid, like private domain, then how can you give and receive from the ani? That would be an act of transferring an object from public to private and from private to public. Elo isikufas karmelis. Rather, what do you have to say? An isikufa is a karmelis. So remember again, what's a karmelis? So look at Rashi. Three lines are from the bottom in Rashi. Isikufas karmelis. Eina gavoa yod, elo rachba dalit. An isikufa is an area, Rabbi Osei, that has an area of dalit by dalit. So it has four tefachim of space, but it does not have the requisite height of yud tefachim. So therefore, again, it's what we call a karmelis. So therefore, Rabbi Osei, what's the halacha? So because it's a karmelis, remember, a karmelis is kind of what we call rishus fluid, right? A karmelis is neither a rishus harabim, nor is it a rishus hayochid. So what the Gemara seems to be telling us is what? That if an individual is standing in the isikufa, he has the ability to interact with the balabais. He has the ability to go ahead and interact with the rishus hayachid and give and receive from rishus hayachid, and he has the ability to go ahead and interact with the ani to give and receive from rishus harabim. To which the Gemara says, "I don't understand." Nota benos in the chatrila, sof isura miha isa. See, here's the problem. Even if we say a karmelis is rishus fluid, and therefore, technically speaking, there is no biblical prohibition transferring from any domain to a karmelis. It is still what? Aser midirabanan. Rabbinically, you're not allowed to do that. But yet, when you read the lashon of the Mishnah over here, it sounds like what? That you're permitted to do it even l'chatchila. So what's going on over here? Elo isikufa makom petur ba'almahu. Rather, what's the case? The case over there we're dealing with is an isikufa is a makom petur. If you look at Rashi, makom petur, Makom she'in bo, or actually the Gemara says it, the kegon deles beit dalid al dalid. The isikufa that we're dealing with over here, I will say, is not a karmelis, but rather the isikufa that we're dealing with over here is a makom p'tur. Is a makom p'tur. So says the Rashi, makom p'tur, makom she'in bo arba al arba. It is a place that does not have a space of four tefachim by four tefachim. Hu makom esum shevei shorosh rachav k'tas kavoa gimel. So we'll say, so what is a karmelis? What is an isikufa? It's a makom p'tur. And we'll say, what is a makom p'tur? A makom p'tur is a space that does not have a height of 10 tfachim, nor does it have an area of dalit tfachim, but it has a height of at least more than gimel tfachim. So essentially, it is an area that is neither a rishus harabim, nor is it a rishus hayochid, but it borders, in this particular case, it happens to border between both of them. So halacha lamaisa, this isikufa is a makom p'tur, and because it's a makom p'tur, I'll say, see again, remember, if the isikufa was a karmelis, and how do we define a karmelis? So I'll say, karmelis essentially is an area that has certain qualities, but doesn't conform to any full set of qualities. So in this case, for example, the isikufa, it would be a karmelis because it has a makom dalid al dalid, but not a height of yud. So we'll say, but if it was a karmelis, although technically speaking, if you were to transfer to it from a rishus hayachid or from a rishus harabim, you would not be chayiv, but it's still asur midirabanan. We need to find the case where what? Where transfer is mutter l'chatchila. What's the case of transfer mutter l'chatchila? where the isikufa is a makom p'tur. And what's the definition of a makom p'tur? It certainly does not have 10 tefachim in height, and it doesn't even have what? 4 tefachim in area, but rather, again, as Rashi points out over here, just read Rashi once more, makom p'tur, makom she'in bo arba al arba. So it doesn't have 4 tefachim of interior space. So we'll say, what it must have is a height of at least what? Gimel tefachim. Why a height of at least Gimel Tvachim? Because otherwise what? Excuse me. Because otherwise, it's loved. If it's loved, then it's bottled to whatever area it is going to be tethered to. So it has a height of at least more than Gimel Tvachim, but doesn't have an area of, but certainly doesn't reach Yud, and doesn't have an area of Dalet. This is called Makom Ptur. And therefore, Halach Lamaisa, technically speaking, you could lechatchila transfer from Rishus Hayochid to the Carmelis, and from the Carmelis to Rishus HaYachid, or from Rishus HaRabim to the, Isikufa. From Rishus HaRabim to the Isikufa, and from the Isikufa to Rishus HaRabim. To which the Gemara says, V'chi Aser Abdimi Am Rabbi Yochanan, Makom She'in Bo Dalet Al Dalet Tvachim. If you have a space that doesn't have Dalet Al Dalet Tvachim, Motor L'Bnei Rishus HaYachid U'L'Bnei Rishus HaRabim L'Kasif Alav. So I'll say, if you have a space that is in between Rosh HaYochid and Rosh HaSarabim, and it doesn't have Dalet al Dalet, and it's higher than Gimel Tfachim, but ultimately, again, less than Yud, then both ultimately Rosh HaSarabim and Rosh HaSayochid have the ability to utilize it to adjust their load on it. With one caveat, ubilvad, shelo yachlifu. But with one exception is, we don't want it to turn into a space where what? Where people go ahead and transfer objects from the private to the public domain. So we'll say this is one caveat. So when you have this isikufa, which we now have identified as a makom p'tur, so halacha lemaisa, you could transfer from Rishus HaRabim to the isikufa, from isikufa to Rishus HaRabim, from Rishus HaYochid to the isikufa, from isikufa to Rishus HaYochid, but what you can't do is what? Use the isikufa as the way to transfer items from Rosh HaSarabim to Rosh HaSayachid, from Rosh HaSayachid to Rosh HaSarabim. Ubilvach lo yitomi balabayis v'nosin la'ani, me'ani v'nosin la'balabayis. So we'll say what you can't do is stand on the isikufa and essentially transfer items from the balabayis in the Rosh HaSayachid to the ani in Rosh HaSarabim, or from the ani in Rosh HaSarabim to the balabayis in Rosh HaSayachid. But if you did so, be'im nasal v'nasan, if in fact you did do that, I will say, what's talacha? Shlashtan peturin. So if you did it, technically speaking, everyone is pater. To which the Gemara says, because what's at the end of the day, you've gone ahead, the reason why you're pater is why? Because the item did come to rest where? In a makom p'tur. So the Gemara says, Lema tepte to the Rava. So ultimately, again, does this not refute the position of Rava? What did Rava say? So the Gemara says, so we'll say, somebody asked you this case yesterday, I just don't remember who. Right? If you carry an object, you're standing in Rosh HaSarabim. So you have a great chav. I know how I'm going to go ahead and transfer an object in Rosh HaSarabim. What do I do? So if I transfer an object in Rosh HaSarabim, she'eviru, top of test. She'eviru, derech alav. So we'll say, watch this. I have a great chav. I'm going to transfer an object through the entire Rosh HaSarabim. What am I going to do? I'm going to hold it lemala miyud. It's gevaldik, right? You can carry an entire object throughout the entire length of Rosh HaSarabim, but it's lemala miyud. Remember, again, airspace of Rosh HaSarabim only extends where? Only extends up until yud. So I'm going to carry the object, and I'm just going to hold it high above 10.
That's what I do.
I didn't see you yesterday.
That's what I do.
That's what you do. Oh, by the way, it's awesome. It's awesome. Yeah. No. Mamish. Yeah. So, do you want to revisit that thing? That's yours is as follows. So the Gemara says, what's that? No, just, you'll see what that loch is. So what's that loch? Afa pishe viru derech alav chayiv. Right? So we'll say, see, even though, again, you carried it, even though you carry it, what's that halacha? Yechayiv. So I will say, so look at Rashi for just a moment. Darach halav, sheik taparashi tesamad alav. Sheik biu lemaila miyud, de lo shalit ba avir rishasam, ba havi makom p'tur. Chayiv. So ultimately, again, the Gemara says, even though you're carrying it, so we'll say, remember, what did we kind of just end off with the Issikufa case? So we've established that the Issikufa is a Makom Patur. Right? What's the case of the Issikufa, the case of the threshold we're dealing with, is that it's less than Dalet al Dalet, and it's a height of more than Gimel, but less than Yud. And therefore, again, technically speaking, because it's a Makom Patur, you could transfer objects from it, from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to it, from it to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, and from Rosh Hashanah Yachid to it, and from it to Rosh Hashanah Yachid. The one caveat you can't do is, you can't use it as a space to transfer between Roshuyos. And that's more an issue of safeguarding Hilchos Shabbos. If you were to do so, technically speaking, everyone involved is Pater, but you really should not do it. You really should not do it. So the Gemara says, this is very interesting, because contrast it with Rava's statement. Rava says that, so you shouldn't use the Issikufa as you're transferring between domains, but if you did so, you're Pater. Contrast this ultimately again with Rava's statement. Rava says that Allah Lamaisa, if you transfer an item, Lamalo Miyud, in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, You're chayiv. But I don't understand. So if you do that, Rabbi, what are you doing? You're utilizing a makom patur to transfer an object. Yet in this case, if you utilize a makom patur to transfer an object, what's the halacha? What does Rabbi say? You're chayiv. But yet by the case of the Issikufa, if you use a makom patur to transfer an object from Rosh Hashanah Rabbim to Rosh Hashanah Yachid, what's the halacha? You're potter. So what's the chilik? The other thing is very simple. Hasam lo nach, hacha nach. Rebbe say, here's the fundamental distinction. In the case of where a person is carrying an object in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, but just holding it lamala miyud, the item never came to rest in a makom patur. At the end of the day, where does the item really come to rest? Where does it come to rest? When you put it back down in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Right? So the item is, there's an akira in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim, a hanocha in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. See, though, technically speaking, you're transferring it through a makom patur, the akira and the hanocha occurred in a place of chiyuv. In the case of the Issikufa, Rabbi, so remember again, the object is coming to rest in the makom patur. How is the object coming to rest? Because Rabbi, let's assume somebody's exploiting this Issikufa. How do you exploit the Issikufa? Right? I want to give a loaf of bread to the ani. I'm the balabayis. So what do? I give it to Reuven, who's standing on the Issikufa. He places it in the hands of Reuven. And then what? Reuven goes ahead and gives it to the ani standing in Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So technically speaking, what's happened over here is the object has come to rest in the Issikufa. So when an object comes to rest in a makom patur, that's when you'll be chayiv for transferring the item, even though effectively the item was transferred from a Rosh Hashanah Yachid to a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So this patur, when the item comes to rest in the makom patur. But halacha lemaisa, in the case of where Reuven is going ahead and carrying the object, but he's just walking through Rosh Hashanah Rabbim with the item held high over 10 tefachim, so lemaisa, technically speaking, even though he's carrying through a makom patur, the item never came to rest in the makom patur. Because it never came to rest in the makom patur, therefore halacha lemaisa, he will be chayiv, and therefore it should not be done. Good. I'm even yovin. Good. So we'll say, that's the fundamental chilek. So we'll say, so therefore, halacha lemaisa, so just to clarify the case of the Issikufa that we're setting it up is the case of makom patur. Contrast that with the case of someone's carrying an object, lamala miyud. Even though you're carrying it lamala miyud, because it never comes to rest in a makom patur, therefore what? Therefore, halacha lemaisa, you will be chayiv. Masha'inkein, when it comes to rest on the Issikufa, comes to rest on the makom patur, so Rabbi say, effectively, what happened? You've had nakira in, let's say, Rosh Hashanah Yachid, a hanocha in a makom patur, another hanocha in a makom patur, a nakira in a makom patur, and a hanocha in Rosh Hashanah Yachid. Therefore, that case will be patur. Beautiful. Achirim omrim, Issikufa mishameshes shtei reshuyos. So we'll say, others explain that the Issikufa actually has the ability to have kind of a dual identity. Bizman sha pesach pasuach kilifnim pesach no kilachot. So we'll say, what do we say? Others explain that the Issikufa has a dual identity. If the doorway is open, then ultimately again, it has the status of the Rosh Hashanah Yachid. If the doorway is closed, it has the status ultimately again of the Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So the Gemara says, va'af agav de les leilechi. Is this true even if the Issikufa doesn't have a lechi? So I'll say, we'll see this more in our Erevin days, but when we get to Erevin, so we will see that sometimes the ability to go ahead and carry in an open area that may be accessible to multiple groups is to put up a lechi or a korah, a vertical beam or a horizontal beam. Now that vertical beam or horizontal beam, we will see, just simply serves as a reminder that this area can be carried in, but let's say Rosh Rabbim cannot. So you're saying that the Issikufa, you could go ahead, it has the identity as of the Rosh Hashayachid or the Rosh Rabbim without a lechi. V'hamarav chama bar gurya amarav, tocha pesach sarich lechi. Yet we learned elsewhere that inside the doorway of the Issikufa requires a lechi. Sarich lechi achar latiro. Maybe you'll assume, like we said before, you're talking about an isikufa that doesn't have dalid al dalid. The inside of the doorway, i.e., the isikufa by the doorway, even if it doesn't have dalid al dalid, still requires a lechi. Amrav Yehuda Amrav Hocha Bisikufas Mavoy Askinon. What's a very interesting case? What are we talking about over here? The threshold of a mavoy. So we'll say just a word about a mavoy. Mavoy literally means an alleyway. So just so you appreciate how their courtyards were set up. So the way it used to work in Talmudic times is you'd have multiple homes open up into a shared chutz or a shared courtyard. And then courtyards would open up into a shared alleyway called a mavoy. And then that alleyway would open up into the Rishus HaRabim, open up into the public domain. So the Gemara is suggesting over here that the Issikufa that we are talking about is actually not the Issikufa of a private home, but rather the Issikufa of a Mavoy, the Issikufa of an alleyway. So the Gemara says, and what's happening over here? Chetziyav Mekura v'chetziyav She'ina Mekura. And part of that Issikufa, half of it is roofed, and half of it is not roofed. So watch this. So the Gemara says, Chetziyav Mekura v'chetziyav She'ina Mekura. So the Gemara says, V'chiruyav Klape Pnim. And the roof part of the Issikufa is towards the interior of the Mavoy. So watch this. Pesach Pasuach, when the opening of the Mavoy, or when the Mavoy is open, right, when the entrance into the Mavoy is open, then ultimately, again, Kilifnim. Then the roofed part of the Issikufa has the status of the interior of the Mavoy. Pesach Na'ul, when ultimately the door to the Mavoy is closed, Kilachutz, then even the roofed part of the Mavoi has the status ultimately again of Rishus HaRabim. Rav Ashi says no. The Olam Bisikufas Bayis Askinon. No, we're not dealing with an Issikufa ultimately of a Mavoi, but rather we're speaking about an Issikufa of a home. Ukigon Shekira B'shtei Koros. So we'll say, what's the case? So we're back now to a situation of an Issikufa of a home. Not an Issikufa, ultimately, of a Mavui. And what's the case? The case, Rabbi says, is where you have the Issikufas of the home, Ushikira B'shtei Koros, and you roofed the area of the Issikufa with two boards. Now watch this. She'in Bezuar Ba, Vein Bezuar Ba. Rabbi says, both of those boards, neither of them have a width of four tefachim. Now watch this. Ve'ein bein zu lezu shlosha. So it's a little bit interesting. Neither of the boards have a width of four tefachim, so they're spaced from each other, but there's less than three tefachim of space in between the two boards. Ve'deles ba'emtza. Now watch this. And the door is in the middle of the two boards. So we'll say, just to clarify, we're dealing with the threshold, the isikufa of a home. Over the home, there are two boards, neither of which measure four tefachim in width. There's three tefachim of space in between the two boards. There's less than three tefachim of space in between the two boards. And ultimately, again, the door is in between the two boards. Now watch this. So the Gemara says, Pesach Pasuach, if the doorway is open, Kilifnim. Then the entire area, the entire boarded area, right? So the entire area of the Issikufa is now going to be considered like what? Like the Rosh Hashayachid. Why is that? I will say, because when the door is open, what happens? You now have less than three tefachim of space in between the boards. If you have less than three tefachim of space, then what? The entire area is closed. Now that the door is open, that entire Issikufa area becomes like the interior of the home, i.e. Rosh Hashayachid. However, Pesach Na'ul, if the door is closed, then what? Kilachutz. Then ultimately, again, the Issikufa area will have the status of the exterior. So again, Salah Chalamaisa, what you begin to see is Isikufa itself is a very versatile area. So on one hand, you could set up a situation of an Isikufa that is a Makom Patur. And if the Isikufa is indeed a Makom Patur, then what do we say? Then it could be utilized by both the Rishus Hayachid as well as the Rishus Hayachid as well as the Rishus Harabim. However, you could just as easily set up as a case of an Isikufa that is a versatile Isikufa, and depending on a variety of factors, including door placements, whether or not it's a isikufa of a mavoi versus a isikufa of a home, could sometimes have the status of the Rishus Hayachid and sometimes have the status of the Rishus Rabbim. So it turns out, Rabbi say, that as opposed to, let's say, Rishus Hayachid, Rishus Harabim, Carmelis, and Makom Patur, which are all clearly defined areas, an isikufa is not. An isikufa is more a descriptive statement of a threshold area. What is the status of a threshold area? And the answer is, it depends. It depends where it is. It depends also what's happening on top of it. It depends what's happening behind it. It depends what's happening in front of it. Good. However, if you have an isikufa that is 10 tefachim high and 4 tefachim wide, then what? It becomes a rishus unto itself. It becomes a rishus unto itself. And Rabbi says, that's obvious. If the isigufa is 4 tefachim of width and 10 tefachim of height, then what, Rabbi says? What are those the dimensions of? Rishus Hayachid. So obviously, again, in a situation like that, the isikufa itself becomes its own domain, becomes its own rishus. Meseleh Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, the Amr Rabbi Yitzchak bar Avdimi, Omer Hayu Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Kamakum sha'ata motzei beiz rishuyos vein rishus achos. Any time, ultimately, again, that you find two rishuyos, but they are in fact one rishus, which Rabbi Yitzchak means anytime you have two rishuyos within one rishus, within one domain, kigon. Amud birshus hayochid gavoa yod berachav dalit. For example, if you have a pillar within rishus hayochid. So we'll say somebody actually just mentioned this to me. Who's just asking you after davening? Oh, Shema. Okay, I'm sorry. Right, incredible. Do you work or you just learn all the time? It's incredible. Mamish, okay, like my Rebbe. Okay, so says the Gemara. So if you have beiz rishus in rishus achas, kigon amud birshus hayochid. Gavoa yud v'rachav dalit. So we'll say, for example, what happens if you have a rishus hayachid, right, a private domain, but you have another area in that private domain that in and of itself adheres to the criteria of a private domain. So you have a rishus hayachid. So we'll say, a simple example of this. You have your backyard. Your backyard is a rishus hayachid. And in your backyard, what do you have? You have a pole, right? You have a pole. And that pole, for example, let's say is 10 tefachim high and has a width of 4 tefachim. So we'll say, what's the halacha? Asra lekasef alav, kezira mishum tel birshus harabim. So we'll say, this is very interesting. So it says over here that halacha lemaisa, so you have a rishus hayachid and a rishus hayachid. So ideally what the halacha is, you should not go ahead and utilize that space on Shabbos. You shouldn't adjust your load on that on Shabbos. What are we concerned about? That if you go ahead and you utilize that pole on Shabbos, you may come to use a similar pole in the Rishus Harabim. Now, both say, now to utilize that pole in your backyard, is there a problem with it on a technical level? No, it's all one Rishus Hayachid. But we're concerned that if you utilize that type of pole in a Rishus Hayachid, you may come to equally go ahead and utilize that pole in the Rishus Harabim. And utilizing that pole in Rishus Harabim, ultimately what? Is halacha lemaisa aser. Good, incredible, I will say. So Rashi says, if you look at the last Rashi, Mishum tal Rishus Harabim, Gavayu avarach avdad, Havar Rishus Hayachid, Di'ika chiyuvah doraisa, Mir Rishus Harabim lekaseh. So this is fascinating. So Midra Abanan, we say, you can't use one Rishus Hayachid inside of another Rishus Hayachid, lest you come to use what? That same type of Rishus Hayachid in Rishus Harabim. Incredible. Rabosei Amud Beis. Rabosei, we are totally and fundamentally switching gears and have incredible news for you. There is a Garata. Not today, right? But there is Agarata coming our way. So we'll say, take a look at the Mishnah. Fascinating Mishnah. Lo yeshev adam lefnei ha-saper samach lemincha. We'll say, fascinating halacha. Now the truth is, this has nothing to do with Shabbos, as we're going to see. A person should not sit down to take a haircut before mincha time. So if you haven't yet davened mincha, you shouldn't sit down to take a haircut. Now, what's happening over here? Actually, spell until you daven mincha. If you look at Rashi, Rashi says, Rabbi Achi Yispalo, Shema Yishkach, Velo Yispalo. V'ha'afilu b'chol nami. So we'll say, ultimately, again, so as we're going to see, these halachas in the Mishnah are not unique to Shabbos. What the Mishnah is teaching me is, I shouldn't sit down to get a haircut when, once mincha time has come, before I daven mincha. What's the concern? The concern is I'm going to get wrapped, we'll define the parameters of this, I'm going to get wrapped up in my haircut, and I'm going to forget to daven mincha. Similarly, lo yikanis adon lamerchatz, v'lo leborsiki, v'lo lecha, v'lo ledin. Similarly, we'll say a person should not enter into the bathhouse. This is all talking about before mincha time. So before mincha time, so I should say the time of mincha has arrived. We'll discuss which mincha. So the time of mincha has arrived. So I should not go in, I should not essentially, we'll say the essential what the Mishnah is teaching me is, you don't begin certain activities once the time for mincha has arrived, if you have not yet davened mincha. What are we concerned about? We're concerned that you may get wrapped up with the activity and may forget to daven mincha. So therefore, again, you shouldn't enter into the bathhouse. We're concerned. You're going to get caught up in the bathhouse, get to daven mincha. Borsiki is a tannery. Don't enter into the tannery and start business. You may get caught up with that. Don't start a meal. If mincha time has come, if you have not yet daven mincha, you may get caught up in your meal. V'lo ledin. Don't begin to adjudicate cases before mincha time, lest you come to go ahead and get caught up in adjudicating the case. V'mischilu, but I will say if you started any of these things, ein mafsikin. Once you've started halacha lemaisa, you do not need to stop. That's right. So again, a simple halacha. Once the time for mincha comes, don't get involved in something that could cause you ultimately to miss out on davening mincha. However, if you started, you need not stop. So mafsikin likras kriya shema. But however, you do stop for the recitation of shema. In other words, I will say, ideally, it sounds like what the Mishnah is saying is, one should not start any of these items, if halach or any of these activities, if you have not yet said shema. If you have not said shema. But if you did start, then for kriya shema, you do stop. We'll say fundamental distinction. Kriya shema is daraisa. Is biblical obligation. Tefillah is a rabbinic obligation. So therefore, for Kriyat Shema, you shouldn't start. But if you started, you should stop, say Kriyat Shema, then you could resume. Ve'ein mafsikin l'tefillah. But one need not stop, ultimately, again, for Shemona Esrei. So we'll say what. So again, we'll see what. This seems to be a bit redundant because Mincha is Tefillah. So the Mishnah already taught me that once the Zman for Mincha comes, Ideally what? Don't start any of these activities. Right? Daven mincha first, then start the activity. Because we're afraid you're going to get caught up in the activity and miss davening mincha. But the Mishnah clearly said, but if you started, you don't have to stop. So why do you have to say tefillah again at the end? We'll see in the Gemara. Say samach l'mincha. So we'll say, when we say that you shouldn't start these activities close to mincha time, which mincha are we referring to? If you want to say it's talking about mincha gidola. So if you want to say it's not mincha gidola, sa'amai lo. So I don't understand why not. So also remember again, mincha gidola, the earliest time for mincha during the day, is 6.5 hours into the day. So let's say in a perfect day where sunrise is 6 and sunset is 6, you could begin to daven mincha at 12:30 in the afternoon. So I will say, I can't take a haircut already by 12:30. I can't go for a meal. I have a whole afternoon to daven mincha. So what's the concern? Am I low? Ha'ika shalos bayom tuva. There's plenty of time during the day to daven mincha. Elo, samoch l'mincha kitana. Rather, what are we talking about over here, Rabosai? Mincha kitana. Mincha kitana is 9.5 hours into the day. So from the time you get to mincha kitana, once you get to mincha kitana, technically speaking, there's only 2.5 hours left in the day to be able to daven mincha. So perhaps what the Mishnah is teaching me is, once the time for mincha kitana, 9.5 hours into the day, so on your perfect day, we'll call it 3:30 in the afternoon. Once 3:30 in the afternoon rolls around, I only have another 2.5 hours for mincha, that's when the Mishnah says, listen, don't start going for a haircut, eating a meal, adjudicating a case, going into the tannery, or taking a bath, going to the bathhouse, because lemaisa, those things, you could get involved with them for a little while, and that's when we're concerned that you may come to go ahead and miss the zman for mincha. To which the Gemara says, Neima tevet yuv to Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. This seems to refute the position of Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi. Where is Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi? Don't Yoshua ben Levi. Kevan shegi is man tfilas mincha. Asra li adam shi yitom klum kodem shi yispal tfilas mincha. So what Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, sounds like once this man from mincha comes, Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, you cannot do anything, right? You can't even taste anything. Ultimately, again, before you daven mincha. So according to Rabbi Shimon Levi, it sounds like I will say that even what? That even if halacha lamaisa you started, you have to stop. Remember again, our Mishnah says that you shouldn't start. If you haven't daven mincha, you shouldn't start these activities. But if you started, you don't have to stop. Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi seems to say that what? That Allah Lamaisa, even once you started, you have to stop. To which the Gemara says, no. Lo li olam samoch lamincha gidola. Rather, again, the Gemara says, what are we talking about, Rabbi Yosai? The mincha we're actually talking about is mincha gidola. It's actually earlier in the day. That the Mishnah is teaching us that even once the time for mincha gidola, early in the day, 6.5 hours comes, there are certain activities you should not get engaged in until you daven mincha. Why? Because these are the type of activities that could take away your attention for hours at hand. For example, ubitisbar, suppose you say to yourself, for some of us, haircutting is like a 2.5 minute ordeal. Right? I will say, but la maisa, even if you are hair blessed, right? So la maisa, right? I can't start a haircut at mincha gidola. No. Ubitisbaras ben alasha. We're talking about, for example, the type of haircut Ben Alasha. So Rashi points out over here that Ben Alasha was the son-in-law of Rebbe. And ultimately, again, he was fixated on the haircut of the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol had a very unique type of haircut, the Gemara describes, where each hair was symmetrically cut. Such a haircut like that, remember, the Kohen Gadol had an obligation. Kohen Gadol and the king had an obligation to be perfectly groomed. Perfectly groomed. So their haircut took a lot longer. So Ben Alasha perfected this method of haircutting, not because it was about Gai v'chas shalom, but because he wanted to show what this haircut looked like. That's the type of haircut the Mishnah is referring to. Apparently this was a very involved process. That type of haircut, you shouldn't even start at Mincha Gidola, because that takes a long time. Below the Merchats, and Abbas said, what does it mean again? You shouldn't even go to the Merchats. Once Mincha Gidola comes, Lekula Milsa de Merchats. Abbas said, that's talking about if you're going for the whole spa treatment at the Merchats. So we'll say, what's the spa treatment at the Merchats? Look at Rashi. L'kula mils at the Merchats. L'ach ufrosho, u'lishtateh b'chamin, u'b'turna l'aziyah. So let's listen to this. So in all seriousness, there was the spa package at the bathhouse. What was the spa package at the bathhouse? It was washing your hair. It was the hot bath, the cold bath, and then the sauna, then the shvitz. So we'll say, when you did that, you cleared your afternoon. So Rabbi says, therefore, again, what the Mishnah is teaching me is like this. Is that halacha lemaisa, if you're going for the spa package at the bathhouse, really you shouldn't start that after the time of Mincha Gidola, right? Ideally, you should have a Mincha first and then go for your spa package. You're going for the haircut of the Kohen Gadol, which is fine, anyone could do that. But ultimately, again, even once time for Mincha Gidola comes, daven Mincha first before you do that, because that could be very involved. Velo leborsiki, what about the tannery? Leborsiki Gidola. Ultimately, again, Abbas said, so that refers to the large tannery. So, halacha lemaisa, for a large tannery, Abbas said, what's the concern? The concern is, Rashi says over here, before we get to Rashi, Leborsiki Gidola. So, I'll say, well, if you just take a look at Rashi, he says, Leborsiki Gidola. Actually, not yet, I'm sorry. Rashi's Oros Harbei, Obetchilas Tikunon. The concern over here with a large tannery is that halacha lemaisa, you're going to get in there, and because it's a large tannery, you're going to get very involved in your business, and halacha lemaisa, you're going to totally miss the zman from mincha. So what the Gemara is holding right now is what the Mishnah. Oh, sorry. Where does this go? Sorry. All right. So we'll say. So therefore, again, what the Mishnah is saying is that halacha lemaisa, there are certain activities you shouldn't even start by mincha gidola. What type of activities? Activities that could cause you to become very involved, and therefore the concern is so involved that they could take up your entire afternoon, and halacha lemaisa, you'll end up missing out for the zman for mincha. So the Gemara says, "Velo lechol," and what does it mean for eating? Besuda gidola. Talking about a large meal, right? So not just sound like you're grabbing lunch, but you want to sit down to a large meal. A large meal could go on for hours. So that's the kind of thing we don't want you to start, even by mincha gidola. Velo ledin, plus what does it mean? You shouldn't sit down to adjudicate a case to begin a din Torah, to begin legal proceedings. Because again, if you're going to begin legal proceedings, that could extend for a very long time. Rav Acha Yaakov says, no, the truth is, it's even talking about a regular haircut. You really shouldn't even begin a regular haircut at this man for Mincha Gidola. Why not? The Gemara says, L'chatchila mai lo yeshev, gezeira shemi yeshaber hazug. We'll say, what's the concern? The concern is that you may sit down for a haircut, and what may happen? The scissors may break. The barber's scissors may break. And if the barber's scissors break, it's not like today when you go to the barber, he's got 15 scissors. Right? So the scissors break, what's going to happen? It's going to take him some time to get another pair of scissors. So by the time he comes back, you're also not going to walk out half shorn, right? You're not going to walk out, half cut. So therefore, again, you could miss out the entire afternoon. Below the merchatz, and again, what does it mean you can't go into the bathhouse? Even if you're just going into Schwitz, right, for the sauna, l'chatila mailo, gezera shami yisalfa. Because what's that? Sometimes when you go to the sauna, so what happens? Sometimes when you go to the sauna, a person could feel faint afterwards. And because they'll feel faint afterwards, they won't be able to daven. V'lo l'borsiki, and even walking into the tannery, li'una ba'alma, even if you're going ahead, and even if you're just going to check on things, l'chatila mailo, Tilma chazi pseida bizvine umachid. I've also said because maybe you'll go into the tannery and ultimately again you're going to go ahead and you're going to see that the hides are not coming out the way you wanted. And look at Rashi umachid yitzna ervi tarud b'tzara v'lo yispalo. And you'll become so overwhelmed by your financial loss that you'll be preoccupied with your financial loss and you won't be able to daven. V'lo lechol besuda kitano lechatilo amaylo. So I'll say, and even if it's something a small meal, you still shouldn't ideally go ahead and even begin a small meal, even by the zman of mincha gidolo. Why amaylo? Tilma asi la'amshuche. As I will say, sometimes even what begins as a small meal has a way of going ahead and continuing into a longer meal. V'lo l'din. And ultimately, even by adjudicating a case, that's even true b'gmardin. Even if you're coming to go ahead and deliver a final verdict, l'chatchila mailo, d'amachazi taima b'sasar dina. Maybe you'll see some type of reason for an alternate ruling, and you'll have to start everything again. So bottom line, two different interpretations of the Mishnah. Interpretation number one, was that we're talking about dramatic type of things, dramatic haircuts, dramatic, right, the sauna, the spa treatment at the sauna, the beginning of a din. Approach number two is that no, even with regular events, you really should not begin them at the time for Mincha Gidola, because what sometimes in life, what appears to be smaller, more contained events have a way of becoming prolonged and more complicated. And therefore, the Mishnah teaching means very simply, once the Zman for Mincha comes, essentially what? Don't do stuff until you daven Mincha. Take care of your Mincha obligation first, ultimately again, and then you'll take care of everything else after. So we'll say, and by the way, we'll see about Halacha L'maaseh, if this is true or not. Clearly it's not, because we do plenty of stuff even once the Zman of Mincha Gidola comes. But the Musr is so profound. The Musr is that when something has to get done in life, do it now. Because if you don't do it now, then what happens? Well, so we all know this, right? How many of us have things on our to-do list that have been on our to-do list for years? For years they've been there. I want to accomplish this. I want to do this. I want to be this. They've been there for years. Why haven't they get done? Not because I don't care, chas v'shalom, but because other stuff just keeps coming up. So sometimes in life, the Musr is that if you need to get something done, get it done now. Do not wait. Do not delay. Don't wait for a convenient time. Don't wait for later. If it's important enough to get it done, it's important enough to get it done now. So the Gemara says, interesting enough, Me'imasai, just a few more lines. Me'imasai has chalas tisporas. At what point in time do we say that a haircut has begun? So let's remember again, on the flip side, the Mishnah tells you that what? That Allah Lamaisa, once you begin something, right? So ideally, the Mishnah is teaching me, you shouldn't begin these activities from the time of Mincha Gidola. But yet, halacha l'maisa, I'm being told that what? If I did begin it, then what? You don't have to stop. So now the interesting shaila is, at what point in time is the activity considered to have begun? Telling me, therefore, that what? That I don't have to stop. So, me'imasai es chalas tisporas, when is the beginning of a haircut? Am Rabbi Avin, mishyanech ma'aforesh ha'saporna b'rekav. When the barber puts the thing on you, the zach, what do you call it? The smock. Right, good. It's not called the zach. Okay, good. Right, when you put the smock on, right, put the barber's smock on, that's the beginning, ultimately, of haircutting. Say, Rabbi Osai, so the halacha will be like this. You shouldn't take a haircut from the time of Mincha Gidola, but if you started, you could finish it up. What's considered starting of the haircut? Interesting enough, it's not the first snip of the scissors. It's once the smock is on, finish it up. Rabbi say ultimately again, it's the same idea. You shouldn't go to the bathhouse once the type of mincha gedola has come. But halacha lemaisa again, if you began mincha gedola, if you began the process of the bathhouse, so again, you don't have to stop. What's the beginning? So amarav mishayare ma'arafto hemenu. When you begin to take off your head wrapping. So the moment you begin to take off your head wrapping, that's the beginning of the preparation for the bathhouse. You don't have to stop. Umeimasai chalas borsiki, and ultimately, you know, we'll say if you started tanning stuff. So at what point of time don't you have to stop? Mishiyiksha bank safe of. But say ultimately again. So what they used to do for tanning is they would take off their clothes. So you would take off your shirt because you didn't want to soil your shirt, and you would tie the sleeves behind you. So the moment that you take off the top of your shirt and tie the sleeves behind you, that's the beginning of tanning. You can finish it up. This is great. And ultimately, again, and Rabbi say, when is it considered to be that you've begun your meal? Rav Amar Mishayitel Yadav. Rav says, as soon as you wash. As soon as you wash, it's beginning the meal. Rabbi Chanina Amar Mishayatir Chagura. Oh, when you unbuckle your belt, right? Right, and now Hinnene Muchan Zuman, right? The Kayim Achila Gasa, right? Mamish, like now, when I unbuckle my belt, now it's a meal, now it's a party. So what I say, says, and it's not a machlokes, lo pligi halan v'haluhu. I both say, it's not a machlokes, ultimately again, one was for B'nai Eretz Yisrael, one was for B'nai Bavel. So apparently again, the style in B'nai Bavel, is that they would wear a belt around their clothing and they would tie the belt very tight. That was the fashion in Bavel. And therefore, again, halacha lemaisa, when they sat down to eat, the first thing they would do is they would unbuckle their belt. You know, and also it's not because like they were ready to eat, it's because it was uncomfortable to sit in that way. So in Bavel, the way you show that you are get ready for the meals, you would unbuckle your belt. In Eretz Yisrael, that wasn't the fashion. They didn't wear their belts like that. Therefore, in Eretz Yisrael, the way ultimately, again, they would go ahead and begin the meal was netilas yadayim. Well, so stop over here. I just want to share with you just a few words. And then also we're going to do, you know, David Kramer suggested that we're going to do a Kaddish Drabanan at the end as well. This is our last live shiur for a little while. It's an incredibly difficult thing to close down the shul. And it's not a decision that was made lightly. So I'll tell you on a personal level. First level, this shul is my life. I spend more time in this place than anywhere else. And this is the place that I come to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This is the place that I come to connect to Am Yisrael. This is the place that I come to teach Torah. So the decision to close our Mikdash Ma'at is not one that we made lightly at all. But it's one that's an absolute necessity. And I say that with absolute confidence, even though there are other shuls that are not following in the same footsteps. Every Rav will make his own decision. But at the end of the day, there's no doubt in my mind anymore. There was doubt in my mind even last night. But there's no doubt in my mind anymore that this is the absolute necessary course of action. And I feel strongly that really every kehila should go ahead and follow in these same footsteps. Some already are. I think we are in the midst of difficult times. And all the experts are saying that the only way to go ahead and deal with this is what they call to flatten the curve. That if we stop the stem of this, then we could go ahead and potentially prevent us from becoming like Italy, from overrunning our health system, and mamish creating situations of acute pikuach nefesh. You know, it's touched my heart that I've seen so many of you have reached out to me and made so many beautiful suggestions. You know, we should continue this year. We'll only have 10 people here. And I want to tell you, there's not a suggestion that hasn't gone through my mind. But the only way for this mahalich to work is if it has to be an absolute approach. It has to be the moment that there are exceptions and the moment that there's this. For simchas, we'll figure out some modified term because there are simchas, there are bar mitzvah boys who are prepared, there are ofrot, there are different things. So there has to be, obviously, some level. But at the end of the day, if we begin to make exceptions and we gather this and we gather that, it doesn't work. This is an es la sos la shem hefaru sarasecha. I'm not an alarmist person. I'm really not, those of you who know me. And I'm not one who gets carried away with public sentiment if I feel that it's not MS. But I feel that this is MS. And even if for some reason it turns out that at the end of the day, our community is spared, and people will say, it was all for nothing. Sometimes when it comes to Safik Pikuach Nefesh, you must err on the side of caution. It's Chamira Sakanta Meisura. There's nothing that we treat more importantly in Halacha than ultimately Sakana. These are difficult times. These are difficult times. So we're going to be shutting down the shul. And I would ask, you know, there are people here who daven at different shuls, and you'll follow whatever your particular Rav tells you. But for the members of our shul, we are not making smaller minyanim. We are not making individual minyanim. We are not. I want to tell you, I'm just as frum as everyone else. And I value tefillah b'tzibur as much as everyone else. And I try never, ever to miss a minyan. But I'm going to miss minyanim. And if I'm going to miss minyanim, then I would encourage all of you to follow suit. Because that's what has to be done during these times. And if you're in shuls, and I'm going to say something that probably is not the right thing to say. And if you're in shuls that are not changing the way they're doing things and are continuing business as usual, I would urge you to ask your Rabbanim why. And I would urge you to ask them, why is it that you're not following normative medical advice? And why is it that you are minimizing the severity of it? Ask, and if you get a good answer, then by all means, you know, follow whatever it is. But these are difficult times, and because they're difficult times, it breaks my heart to think that this beautiful Beis Medrash, that is an ever-expanding Beis Medrash, right, is going to be dark. It's going to be dark. And you, my beloved Chaverim, who I love to see each and every day, we're going to continue to learn together. We're not going to stop learning. We're going to continue to learn. But of course, it's not going to be the same. It's never the same when you do things online, no matter what platform, how wonderful the platform. But this is what we have to do. And I think we have to ask ourselves, like, what do we have to take from this? I think that there are many things to take from this. I think I want to say, like, you know, last night I came back to Shalom, it was a little bit later, and I asked Mechila of the building, because I realized that sometimes, you know, this building gives us a lot of trouble. And, you know, there was a while you may have noticed that there was a little bit of a odor issue. And I thought to myself, you know what? I was pogging in the kavod of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home. So maybe there was an odor, but what I wouldn't give. What I wouldn't give to be able to come to Mincha Ma'ariv tonight with whatever odor or whatever problems or whatever there is. And there's something exceptionally, existentially painful that this is our connection to the Beis HaMikdash. This is what we have. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So in the absence of a Beis HaMikdash, this is what we have. And it's incredibly painful that we're going to be separated. You know, it feels like the Churban is coming, like it's being more pronounced. At least when you have a shul, the loss of the Churban is somewhat mitigated. And now it's like another Churban. It's like another Churban. And it's true. You know, someone said that this, you know, it reminds them of Chas HaShalom, like the Holocaust. And no, it's not. Baruch Hashem, the world is not coming to an end. And the sky is not falling. We are taking proactive measures to ensure the safety and security. We're not doing this, God forbid, because the end of the world is coming. We're doing this because if we take proactive steps now, we can save ourselves from something much more significant. But it hurts. And I think as we're away from our Mikdash Ma'at, we have to ask ourselves, like, did we treat HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home right? And I don't know if the answer to that is yes. I think sometimes we talk a bit too much, or on our cell phones a bit too much, and this is not a cell phone discussion or a talking discussion. But I think we have to ask ourselves, it's going to be like a shtickle gullus that's about to happen. Do we treat HaKadosh Baruch Hu's home right? Because we're going to come back in Eretz Yisrael, we're going to come back b'simcha. I think we have to come back with a newfound appreciation and just a newfound connection to our Mikdash Ma'at. But while we are away, a few things. Number one, don't change your schedule. The schedule for tomorrow morning is that Mesilas Hashem will be at 5:45 a.m. Daf Yomi will Emiratz Hashem be at 5:55 a.m. and we're going to have davening. Don't break your schedule. Don't break your schedule. We're going to be streaming live. We'll figure out the platform, whether it's the, whatever we're going to do. Maishi and Jeremy are on this. It's going to be just like we're together. You'll still even hear the coughing and the sneezing. We're going to put that in there. He'll say, don't break your schedule. Because if you think now, okay, oh, you know, nobody wants to say it, but wow, I could sleep a little bit. But I'll say, you can't stop the regilus. You can't break the schedule. Because I want to tell you something, the moment you break the schedule, when we're back here, whether it's a week from now or 2 weeks from now or whenever it is, you're not going to come back. If you break the schedule, you won't come back. And the way we keep our chevroshaft and the way we keep our togetherness is by keeping to the schedule. Don't break the rhythm. Shir will continue as it always has with the time. The only thing that may happen is it may get earlier. That's the only thing that may happen. But I will say, we're not relaxing the standards and we're not relaxing the schedule. Business must, our avodas Hashem must continue as is. And there's one other piece. You know, it struck me. The pasuk says in Parashas Truma, "Va'asuli mikdash v'shachanti b'socham." So we translate that, right? Make for me a mikdash, which is a reference to the building of the Mishkan, and I will dwell within you. So I was actually having a discussion with a charusa of mine, and he had a very good ha'ara. He said, maybe what it means is like this. Va'asuli mikdash, make for yourself a mikdash, make for yourself a place where ultimately you come to get inspiration, where you come for a connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where you come for a relationship. Vishachanti bisocham. And take the inspiration that you receive in your Mishkan and bring it back to your homes. See, Rabbi Yossi, what's going to happen over the coming days is that normally most of us come to shul for inspiration. We come to the Beis Medrash for inspiration. This is the makom of our inspiration. For many of us, for me, this has been my makom of inspiration for 17 years. And the Mir Hashem will be the makom of my inspiration at Me'aves for many years to come. But we'll say, now what we have to do, we have to take the inspiration that we glean from this place and we need to bring it into our homes. Our homes become the Beis Medrash. Our homes become the Beis HaKnesses. And so we have to begin to give an incredible amount of thought to what are we going to do to infuse Kiddusha into our homes. I would make a suggestion. Make sure you learn by every meal. You know, it's going to be a lot of family time. For some of us, we're like, yay. For others of us, we're like, yay. Right? So say, a lot of family time. We'll say, make sure you learn by every single meal. Learn a Mishnah by every single meal. Be misayim, because we don't know how long this is going to be, right? The schools are closed at least, was it through March 26th, 27th, but it could be longer. So we have to inculcate learning into our home lives. Make sure there's Torah by every single meal. There must be by every single meal. You're going to be davening at home. You're davening at home. Find a way to inspire your children to daven as well. Whether it's that you daven with your children, or even if you're going to be going ahead and you're going to be davening earlier than children, because again, many of us are still going to work. But make sure to bring the Kiddusha of the Mishkan, the Kiddusha that we've amassed here, Asuli Mikdash, V'Shachanti B'Socham. Bring the Kiddusha back into your homes. We have to give this a lot of thought. The shul is no longer here for us for the next little while as it once was. And that is heartbreaking to see and heartbreaking to understand. But the Kiddusha must be generated elsewhere. And if the Kiddusha is not going to be generated by all of us here together, then it must be generated in our individual homes. Kaddish Baruch Hu is telling us something. And I don't know, I'm not a Navi, none of us are Navim, so none of us know what the whole message of the coronavirus is, or the whole message of shul closures. Never heard of such a thing before in our day. But whatever it is, we each have to find our own avodah. And maybe, perhaps one part of the avodah is Kaddish Baruch Hu saying, we need more Kiddush in our homes. We need our children to be more inspired. We need our children to be more connected to their Yiddishkeit. We need our families to be more inspired. We need our homes to have more Torah. Well, it's not happening in the shul for the next few days. So it's got to happen in the home. Today, when we go home, figure out ways in which you are infusing more Kiddusha into your homes. We're going to be putting out a variety of different shiurim and learning opportunities online for adults and for children. These are difficult days, and these are decisions that have not been made lightly, but decisions that I believe in my heart are 1,000% unequivocally correct. Difficult days require difficult measures, but we have to do what we can to be mechazik ourselves, to continue our learning, to be mechazik our mishpachas. It's important for this chevra to stay in touch with each other. You know, we have very strict rules regarding our WhatsApp communications, and it should be that so. But you know what? Figure out ways to create other clusters, because the beauty of our shir, a lot of different people who wouldn't normally be connected, who are here today together, continue the friendships, continue the chevra shaft. We're soon going to continue the learning. We have to hope that as we turn out the lights here in just a few moments, as we turn out the lights in our beautiful Mikdash Ma'at, in our beautiful Beis HaKnesses, if the lights here are going to be extinguished, then the lights of our homes, and the lights of our hearts, and the lights of our souls must burn even brighter. And let us hope that in the merit of the holiness of the Kedusha that we are going to bring to our spouses and to our children and to our mishpachos and to our homes, let us hope that HaKadosh Baruch Hu allows us to come home soon. Because how we won't kiss the walls, right? Walls, which we've set up until now. Oy vavoy, look at those walls. We'll be kissing them when we come back. We'll be dancing here when we come back. But as the lights grow dim here, may the lights grow even stronger and more luminescent in all the other areas of our lives. And Amir Hashem, and the zuchus of the personal lights that we will generate in our homes and in our mishpachos. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring refuah to our world. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the knowledge to the medical community to combat this virus. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu give us wisdom to remain steady and calm, even in the midst of difficult times. And Amir Hashem, may this current challenge just bring us closer to the arrival of Mashiach, the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdosh. Mehir Rabbi Aminu. Amen. We'll say a Kaddish Drabanon. Rabbi Hananya ben Akasha, Mashiach Baruch Hu L'Zakos, says, Yisrael L'Picha, Hir Balam Torah, Yisrael Shine Emar, Adonai Chafetz L'man, Sitko, Yagdil Torah V'Yadil. Moshe Etzion. Mel. Kaddish Drabanan. No. Pinchas, wait. Pinchas, wait. Wait. Oh, go on. Amen. Yehi Shmei Na'avon Mevorach.